If you were a priest, what would you say to someone in the following situation? So someone goes to you for confession and they're really upset, they're crying, they confess something that they're really embarrassed about, they're really ashamed of, and they say, I can't believe I did this, or I can't believe I keep on doing this. Okay, so what would you say? You're the priest. And the reason why I ask this, because I want to see if you know how God typically behaves towards our souls. Because if you start to know, this is how God acts in our souls, then your relationship with him can start blossoming. Then you'll start to see, oh, God's doing this today, right now. That's how he's acting in me. So this situation I just gave you, it's a very typical situation, happens thousands of times, so I'm not violating any seal of confession. And this is what I always tell someone who comes to confession with a heavy heart. And I'll say this, the fact that you feel so badly is a sign that you're close to God. That's true. And your tears and your remorse, your contrition are a sign that God's working really powerfully in your heart. Because see, that's how God works. When we're far from him, he pricks our conscience. And we feel that contrition, we feel badly. That's a really good sign. So if you can start understanding that's the way God works, again, your relationship with him can blossom. Today's gospel, we can see there are six typical behaviors of Jesus, and we're going to outline them so that we can see how Jesus is acting in our lives. So the first pattern, it's really a principle, and it's this. Jesus is looking for us. The text says, on the first day of the week, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 11 kilometers from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus, typically, he draws near to us. He's looking for us, and he walks with us, so to speak. So a lot of theologians have pointed out, in all religions, what's the point of religion? People are looking for God. Man is looking for God. But the unique thing about Christianity is that God is looking for man. And so we can start reflecting, and I want to ask you, do you believe God has been looking for you recently? If you do, you're on the right track. Now let's say you say, actually, no, I don't. I don't feel that. Okay, then I just say two things. First of all, can you just pay attention to your conscience? Because that might be easier for you to see how Jesus is working in your life. And then pay attention to the next five behaviors of Jesus. That might be easier for you to see how Jesus is behaving in your life. The second behavior of Jesus, very typical. Jesus will ask us questions about our happiness. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? Jesus doesn't ask this question because he doesn't know the answer. Why does he ask them the question? He wants us to be more self-aware. So after Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, they sin. The famous question God asks them is, where are you? And it's not because God doesn't know their location. Why does he ask, where are you? So that they know where they are in relation to him. Every time we ask ourselves a deep question or someone poses a deep question to us, ultimately that question is being posed by Jesus. So examples of these questions would be, if someone sincerely asks us, how are you really doing? And then waits for an answer. And we might ask ourselves, am I really at peace? What's bugging me? Sometimes you'll have a good friend who will say, why are you so frustrated? We might ask ourselves why we're lonely. Why do we feel kind of desperate? And someone might ask us a very beautiful question. They might ask us, what are you so grateful for? And all these questions are ultimately being asked by Jesus to us. Number three, Jesus corrects us. After the two disciples, they tell Jesus why they're so sad, he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? So the third typical behavior of Jesus is he corrects us. That's really, really good news. because it brings us closer to him. In the Old Testament, God used prophets to correct his people, and these prophets were imperfect men. And even today, God sends prophets into our lives, very imperfect people. And they start telling us things that we might not want to hear. So think recently. Has anyone criticized us? Has anyone called us out? And the trap for all of us is that sometimes what we'll do is, because these prophets are really imperfect, we focus on their imperfections and we fail to hear the message Jesus is saying to us. That's a trap. We don't want that. What do we want to do? We want to ask, whenever someone criticizes us, we want to ask the best question is it true? Or is what they're saying partially true? Because we really want to receive what Jesus is telling us. A man once told me that the words that woke him up in his life is when a good friend said to him, she said, "You're so selfish." And so we go back to that question. When people criticize us, is it true? Is it partially true? Number four, the fourth typical behavior of Jesus is he teaches us the big story of reality. He teaches us the big story of reality. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. So Jesus teaches us in many ways, but one of the most important ways he teaches us is he tries to help us understand the big story of reality. Why are we here? What is the meaning of life? And the way he does that is through the Bible. So I mentioned before that the Bible is a series of love letters that God writes to us to help us understand the big story of reality. And so I want to ask all of you, do you read the Bible every day? Now, we're starting faith studies online in a few weeks, and that might be our impetus. If you join faith studies, that might start a beautiful journey of you starting to read the Bible every day. Let's say you've already taken faith studies. We have so many people here who've taken faith studies. And you're thinking, okay, Father Justin, where do I start? I want you to start with St. Matthew's Gospel. Start at the beginning of the New Testament. Number five, the fifth behavior, typical behavior of Jesus is he waits for an invitation. He waits for us to invite him into our lives. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. Really interesting line there. Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. Why did he do it as if? Because he wanted them to invite them to invite him back. Why does Jesus do that? Because he doesn't force himself into our lives. He's so respectful of human freedom. And so he wants us to invite. Now, some people might say, you know, if God is so real, why doesn't he just be more clear? Like, just say it. Just come out and tell me the way things are. Tell me what's right and wrong. Why doesn't he just do that? And the answer is because when Jesus comes into our life, sometimes things in our life have to change. We have to change our behavior. And sometimes we're not ready to do that. So alcoholics, deep down, they know they should stop drinking. People with sexual addictions, deep down, they know. And all of us know we're using our phones too much. And Jesus invites us to be free of that. And sometimes we're not completely willing. Okay, so Jesus waits for an invitation. That's very humble of him. So what we want to do is we want to say in a very simple but a very heartfelt, sincere prayer, "Jesus, can you please come?" And "Jesus, if you come, I'm willing. We're as willing as we can. I'm willing to make a few changes in my life." And then that will allow him to really work beautifully to give us the happiness he wants to give us. And finally, number six, Jesus reveals himself in the Eucharist. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. So I mentioned before that scripture scholars say that those four verbs, when they're used in the Bible, of take, bless, break, and give. Those are always used in reference to the Eucharist. So what we know in this situation is Jesus is celebrating Mass. He's revealing himself, and that's when they recognize who he is. So I want to share with you a story that are going to bring these six behaviors all together, and we're going to see how they practically work in someone's life. Burke Masters was from Illinois. He was a non-Catholic teenager, and his parents sent him to a Catholic high school. When he was 14, he had a religion class with Sister Margaret Ann, and he was intrigued by everything he was learning. And one day, at the end of class, a sister waited for him by the door, and he was the last to go out. And she stopped him at the door, and she said, "Burke, you're searching for something." She was right, but he was a shy kid. He didn't know how to answer. And so she said, "Read this." And she gave him his first Bible. He started reading the Gospel of St. Matthew, and it touched his heart, everything he was learning about Jesus. And when he got to the part where Jesus died on the cross, he said, "If we have a God who loves us that much, I'm all in." So he kept on learning. When he got to the part about the Eucharist in Sister Margaret Ann's class, he didn't believe it at first, that Jesus would be truly present in the Eucharist. But 2 years later, he goes on a retreat with his classmates. And during Mass at the retreat, the priest goes around giving communion. And when he gets to Burke, Burke was going to open up his mouth to say, "I'm not Catholic, so I shouldn't receive." But nothing came out of his mouth. So the priest gave him communion. But Burke said that communion changed his life. He said he felt the power of God run through his body in a way he had never felt before. So he went home that night. He told his parents, "I have to join the Catholic Church." His parents were very respectful. And they said, "Okay, but wait, Burke, just wait till you're 18. So he waited that year, but he took private instruction during that time. And when he was 18, he was baptized Catholic. He went off to college on a baseball scholarship. He even played a year of professional baseball, but he wasn't good enough to go on. So he is devastated. So he switched careers. He went into business, made lots of money, but he was bored to death. And during that time, he met Stephanie, the perfect girl to marry. And she brought him to Eucharistic adoration for the first time in his life. But when he went to adoration, the silence scared him. Because in silence, we encounter God. And we also encounter ourselves. And he knew he wasn't living the life he should be living. But they kept on going every Tuesday night for an hour. And he started hearing God's voice more and more. And after a while, the voice said, "Burke, I want you to become a priest." And he said, "I don't want to become a priest. I want to become the general manager of a professional baseball team. I want to marry Stephanie. I want to make millions of dollars." But God continually and gently called him. And it kept on persisting that he went to Stephanie and told her what was going on. And she said, "If this is your call from God, I can't compete with God. So you're going to have to try this." So he went to the seminary. He thought he would hate it. But after a year, he felt peace and joy. And a few months after he went into the seminary, a good friend, Matt, called him. And Matt asked, "Burke, are you happy?" And he said, "I've never been happier in my life." And Matt said, "Good. Because I was wondering if I could start dating Stephanie." And so Burke gave his blessing. He said, "I knew Matt would be good to her." And so Matt and Stephanie start dating. 4 years later, they get married. And who does the wedding? Father Burke. And they have three kids. Who does the baptisms of the three girls? Father Burke. And then years later, Father Burke Masters, he's now the Catholic chaplain to the Chicago Cubs baseball team. By the way, there is a beautiful 30-minute interview on our website of Father Burke Masters sharing this whole beautiful story about how Jesus acted in his life. Which behavior of Jesus strikes us most today? We want to be self-aware. I've given you six examples. We want to know, why is Jesus working that way in my life? And then how are we going to respond? So let's go over those six behaviors of Jesus again. Is it that he's looking for us? Is it that he's asking us questions about our happiness? That he corrects us? That he teaches us the big story of reality? Is it that he waits for an invitation from us? Or is it that he reveals himself in the Eucharist? So we have the rest of the Mass to ponder these questions. And just like we did for the past 2 weeks, we want to do something so beautiful at the end of Mass in the online chat. If we could answer these questions, which behavior of Jesus strikes us most? Because this is really beautiful when we start sharing with each other where Jesus is working. It's so encouraging and it makes it so concrete. So what I'd specifically ask you is you've got six behaviors to choose from. See if you can focus on those. And it would, you just answer something like this. Jesus is searching for me, or he's correcting me, he's teaching me, etc. Yesterday I shared at Mass, I said, I felt Jesus asking me why I'm so frustrated. That was the behavior of Jesus. He's asking me a question about my happiness. And I said to Jesus, I feel like I can't keep up with all the demands in my life. So I became self-aware. And then I realized, okay, Jesus, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell people in my life, I feel I can't keep up. And what happened after that? I received peace. And that's what Jesus wanted to give me. Father Robert Spitzer, he comments on today's gospel on the behaviors of Jesus, and he asks these two questions. And read along, you'll see in the text box there. He asks, would this behavior be typical of incarnate unconditional love? Is that the way unconditional love would act in these six ways? Would he allow us the freedom to grasp him first with our hearts? We grasp him, we recognize him there, and before our eyes and our minds? Is that the way unconditional love would act? Yes. So whenever people come to confession and they're so burdened, they make a beautiful confession, and then I point out to them, you see how close you are to God? You see how beautifully God is working in your life? That's why you have those tears. That's why your conscience is so beautifully sensitive. And when they see that, oh, that's how God's working my life, there's comfort. There's incredible peace. There's joy there. And now we too understand. We understand six more ways Jesus is acting in our lives.